of women.
You can read more news and analysis at townhall.com. I'm Ron DeRockstra.
Good, honest, reliable. More than two decades ago, an auto repair shop opened in Reading based on those simple principles. Advanced Automotive is still family-owned, continuing on with those same ideals. So simple, yet rare in today's world. Modern cars and light trucks have grown more complex in the past 20-plus years, but those founding concepts still hold just as much importance when it comes to safety, reliability, and value for your dollar. Advanced Automotive of Reading promises that your vehicle will be serviced confidently by a technician with the training and knowledge to make professional repairs. Read what your friends and neighbors have to say about Advanced Automotive by going to RepairPal.com, where you can get an instant estimate of what you can expect to pay for your service or repair. Honest work at a fair price. It's not all that complicated. Advanced Automotive of Reading, 244-4423, or stop by 5756 F West Side Road. And hello once again. It's Boomer Tech Radio. I'm Bob Belongi.
And I'm Brenda Belongi.
We are analog, living in a digital world. Welcome to the program with goodies, gadgets, gizmos, and the tech news you can use. Brought to you in Northern California by Advanced Automotive of Reading, safe, reliable car care for their customers and our community, and carried throughout the world via our KCNR archives and TuneIn Radio. That's if you have the Amazon Echo device, you can actually tell your Echo, play Boomer Tech Radio on TuneIn, and she'll do it.
Or he'll do it.
He'll do it.
But depending on how you have it set up.
You can do a male voice on an Echo, I think.
I thought so.
Yeah, I'll have to look at the app, but I believe that's the case.
Either way.
Anyway, welcome to the show. We've got two very full hours to present to you this week. And, of course, if you missed the live broadcast on KCNR in Redding, California.
Or you're nowhere near Redding, California to hear the live broadcast.
Right. You can pick up the show via any number of avenues, including the Boomer Tech Radio webpage, and you can actually comment back if you want to send us an email. You can email boomertechradio@gmail.com.
Actually, I take that back. Since the station live streams, you can get it as it's broadcast for the
you
first
can
time.
Get live. However, we, because of our logistics, we would love nothing better than to have the time to do this show live all the time, as has been requested. I'd love to do that, but
we do it every once in a while.
Yeah, every once. It's just
We didn't get too many call-ins.
It thrashes your day, and we don't get that many live calls. We only get famous.
We would love to hear from you, though, and if you have a question or a show idea, want to know more about a particular thing, we definitely will try to cover that.
Pick up a few more sponsors, you know.
That would be nice. That would definitely help.
Yeah. we love Cody and Tim. We don't want to put it all on them, though. Hey, lots of we're going to lead off, and Brenda's got a few stories to contribute on this. Our lead story this weekend, a record 15 million Americans were hit by identity fraud during 2016.
Yeah, we have quite a few stories.
Among them.
Yep, quite a few stories about identity fraud and things like that. But this is really interesting. So finally, in the United States, the banks have been putting chips in the cards. And so this is a definite measure of security for the card in trying to use it in, you know, the machines and readers and things like that. So because it creates, as I understand it, it creates a one-time approval thing or something.
Right, sort of like a key.
Yeah, a digital signature key. And it can't duplicate. You know, it's hard for the thieves to duplicate it. But what's happened in other countries, most notably Europe, who've really got with it and started using these cards, is that it just drove the thieves online, which is really interesting. So this was predicted when the U.S. started to use these cards because we knew, meaning you know, collectively, whatever, the great consciousness, it was known that this was the reaction of thieves in Europe, and so the assumption was made that it would be the same in the U.S., and indeed that has happened. So, you know those squeeze balls you have in your hand when you to build up your hand strength or whatever?
Mm-hmm.
And when you squeeze it, it pooches out somewhere else.
Yeah.
So this is kind of the same concept where you tighten up something so that the thieves can't get a hold of the information and it just squeezes out somewhere
else. Yeah, like a water balloon in your
hand. Yeah, a water balloon's perfect. And they find some other clever way to do these things. So this increase in this fraud, this is really interesting. $16 billion with a B. Dollars were stolen.
Mm-hmm.
Now, it doesn't say whether that's just in the U.S. or I'm assuming, based on the article's setup, that is just in America. But wherever that was, that's a $1 billion increase year to year. And, of course, you know, so what? Well, remember that we all pay for that because of higher prices and at least to higher interest rates in the cards as well. So this fraud that they are committing is pretty serious business, we were definitely victims of having the internet fraud when our card was recently stolen. Our card number was recently stolen, and they had the whole thing because a lot of them asked for the super secret code on the back, the 3-digit code. That's like another level of security. They had that. They had to have had that because they were ordering things online, and that's why all of the fraud in this particular. This time, since the only time we've been hit with this, was all online purchases, according to the bank when I talked to them.
And it's interesting because there's actually markets online. It's like an eBay or an Amazon for credit card numbers.
Personal information.
And records sell for just a simple credit card might sell for 50 cents each. A full dossier, which is all your information that would allow somebody to open up accounts in your name, those go for around $100. But there's actually a pricing structure in this black market in identity.
I think that's so amazing. So there's predictions that the card not present fraud's going to get worse in the near future. In other words, a lot of that is online convenience and it takes longer for people to find that fraud. In addition to that kind of fraud, new account fraud continues to flourish and account takeover fraud has risen dramatically, which I had not or setting up new accounts. I've had that happen to me quite some years ago. Over a dozen years ago, but the account takeover, I had never particularly heard of that yet. Haven't had that happen, thank goodness. But the new account is basically that the thief has all your personal information, may even have your social security number, your address, your mother's maiden name, which is a really bad security thing because that's a matter of public record, really.
Yeah, yeah.
Somebody wanted to go to the effort to look that up. But account takeover fraud has been in place before, but it's resurfaced as a big deal. And so what the identity theft does in that case is that they use stolen personal information to access your account and maybe have a new card sent to them. So they have to have some information about that. Another aspect of that is hijacking of mobile phone accounts. And that's by using stolen social security numbers, they can get them, thieves can get into your account and they can do things like intercept email and text messages, which has even more personal information in it. And the aim is to, hit people's financial accounts because they'll do stuff online through the phone and all that kind of stuff. And they're able to tap into what you're doing. And that is just so insidiously sick, if you ask me.
And
new ways to create crime.
And we think about somebody draining your account. Well, that might happen once, and then you're going to change all your stuff, right? No. These guys are smarter than that.
Yep.
They hit you for $24.99
below
per
any
cut.
Flag.
Yeah.
Yep. Or just pennies. So if they have, 500,000 accounts and they can get a few pennies out of that account and you don't even notice, that's a lot of money for them.
Yeah. It's like Office Space where they were diverting the fractional cents into an account and it turned out to be hundreds of thousands and it was like, whoops.
Yeah, exactly. So you know, say, well, what's a person to do? And that is a really tough thing. You can't be vigilant enough. And that actually has been one of the effects of this is that people are now really starting to pay attention to their accounts and being vigilant for this. Trust me, you get hit once with this and it will make you pay attention.
Mm-hmm.
And also financial institutions, you know, card issuers, retailers and whatever are getting better at detecting the fraud sooner because it's in their self-interest in a lot of ways to do that and getting it noted. And so there's some positive things out of that. But, you know, you just never know what angle this is going to come from. So we've started doing things like paying cash at gas stations, which I haven't really liked to do.
Yeah.
But,
Yeah, it's a pain. You got to go. You got to park the car, walk in, stand in line, hand them the money, and then you won't either – You won't get your tank full, or then you have change left over,
right,
and then you got to go back.
Back in and get that, which, you know, whatever. It is what it is. But if it keeps my credit card from getting stolen at a gas station, then I'm all for it because, you know, it's a hassle, but, you know, they're not going to steal your stuff if you do that. And I'm going to preface this next comment on the fact that I really don't know how all of these security things work by any means. I mean, I have some idea. But why does all of this fraud have to occur in the industry before it gets fixed? It's like it's reactionary. They wait for the thieves to figure out how to exploit these things, and then they plug that hole.
Yeah.
Instead of figuring out where those vulnerabilities are ahead of time, and they do some of that as well.
They have white hat hackers who
will try to do that
for a fee, and there's the thing.
Yep.
For a fee, come in and analyze a system and say, you need to fix this, this, and this. And these companies are so stupid or arrogant. Or they just say, we'll just pass the cost on to the consumer and fix it afterwards
when
people get mad about it.
Exactly. I don't understand. I get that from a business point of view. But you know what? If you were a business that was working hard on that, and I would be more inclined to put my money in that. So, you know, you kind of think about this as, well, you know, all that loose bills and change and whatever goes in the canning jar under the mattress.
Yeah, exactly.
It kind of drives you in that direction again. And thank goodness we can still do business in cash.
Hey, you throw the odd quarters in a jar for 3 years.
For
3-4 years, and you end up with a couple of $100.
We know because we did that.
paid for a nice dinner and show in Las Vegas.
Yeah, it was kind of we were kind of amazed at how much money that
and
ended
banks
up
will
being.
Still take the rolls of quarters and nickels and dimes. We still got a bunch of that to get rid of. Yeah, so.
Well, while we're still on the subject.
And it's not just credit card companies we were going to talk about.
Yeah, exactly. While we're on identity theft.
Government fraud.
Yes, and it's not the government stealing your stuff. It's government-related things where people are committing fraud. It is tax season. Everybody's favorite time of year, right, when dealing with money. And it's one of those necessary evils. And, you know, what's the euphemism? You pay taxes, then you die type of thing, you know. The only things that are for sure are taxes and death in this life. You know, various themes on that, right?
And the only two sure things in life are death and taxes.
There we
Thank
go.
You very much, Benjamin Franklin.
Yes, there we go. And so it is. But the Federal Trade Commission has some consumer information out there on tax-related identity theft. Yes, there are people who will file fake tax returns to get money, or they will file with your Social Security number and steal your tax return. Mostly it's fake taxes. So there was that case a couple of years ago with what they were sending checks to somewhere in Romania.
Somewhere in Romania, some town.
Yeah, same address.
A P.O. box in Romania had 400 and some odd checks totaling like $500,000 sent to it. And it didn't occur. I mean, this is all done automated.
Right.
And it didn't occur to somebody who was looking at the audit trail, and you would hope there was one to go,
This is a perfect task for a computer because it can say, you know, I already sent a lot of checks to that address
yeah.
and flag it.
Yeah.
These are the kind of algorithms that you can build into a system. You know, and it's true. You know, we would like to think that people are honest and, you know, good and blah, blah, blah. But there obviously are a bunch of people out there that are definitely, you know, trying to steal your
stuff. Trying to rip you off.
They will, you know, we've said this several times on previous episodes of Boomer Tech Radio.
I will shout it from the rooftops.
The IRS is never going to call you at home on the phone.
Or ask you for personal information of that nature. They're not going to do it. Nor, you know, send you an email asking for that information.
Yeah, exactly.
That isn't going to happen either. They will send you a snail mail.
And it has, and if it's bad enough, it is a certified letter because the IRS, God love them, still adores paperwork.
Well,
and this is exactly why.
This exactly. I mean, this is about the only way that they can do these things. So, if someone uses your Social Security number to file a tax return before you do, the IRS might think you already filed and got your refund. So that could cause you some problems. So if you think that, that someone is using your Social Security number for tax refund is fraud, or the IRS sends you a notice of letter indicating a problem, contact the IRS immediately. You may not want to work with them, but you know they'll try to solve the problem. They're not out there to just say no, you're wrong, and they, you know, guilty until proven innocent. They'll try to protect the deal. So. You know, I don't know if the IRS has any protection measures in place. That's a good sign. So what are this morning some of the warning signs that would indicate that tax-related identity theft is occurring is that more than one tax return was filed for you or in your situation. You get a message that you owe additional tax, have a refunded offset, or have had collection actions taken against you for a year that you did not file a tax return, or that IRS records indicate you received wages or other income from an employer from you didn't work for them. So these are tricky things. And if you become a victim of this, then you're going to want to file a complaint with the FTC. That doesn't do anything for you in terms of getting your stuff back.
But it creates that paper trail.
Exactly.
So you can mount a defense.
Exactly.
When the tax man comes to haul you off.
You need to contact the three major credit companies, Equifax, Experian, and TransUnion, and put a fraud alert on your account. That's relatively easy to do. You can do that over the phone with touch-tone stuff. I've had to do that before. And then you say just contact... they call them credit bureaus, and I hate that. Why do they call them credit bureaus? Because bureaus imply there's something like government or whatever, right?
Yeah,
I got to look up the definition of bureau. I call them credit companies because they are in the business of making money on your reports. Although in the state of California, you are allowed once a year a free report from them. If you think your Social Security number is compromised... And
face it, your number is out there.
Right.
Everybody's number is
and they,
out there.
The IRS does not give out new numbers very often. They, you know, you've got to work with the IRS to try and sleuth this out. So make sure you continue to pay your taxes and file your tax return because they really punish you if you don't do that sort of thing, even if there's a goof up. And when I had identity theft over a dozen years ago, one of the things I learned is that folks who are engaging in this fraud includes, I said, well, you know, do I get a new Social Security number? And it's like, no. There are people that use stolen Social Security numbers who are in the workforce and not documented, so those numbers get used. They're paying Social Security under your number in this case,
mm-hmm.
and the IRS never, or the IRS or Social Security Administration never let you know that. Those people will never see that money.
Now that's
the reason
just wrong.
It is wrong, and the government is sucking that money up.
And then you're getting nailed for unreported income.
No, No, they know the difference between when it's you and the next guy is what I've learned. Now, that could be all myth and not true, but I don't believe that is untrue. So the government knows the difference. Why doesn't the government start it, stop it? Well, think about all the revenue that they collect that nobody's ever going to collect, I suppose. And one, you know, and I don't think they put it in the Social Security system to keep that more solvent. Mm. And the person who's using the Social Security number fraudulently will never collect on it because they're not legal. But that's the price they pay for having a job and appearing to be legal. And this is why they put all of this on the employer to make sure that all of this documentation is lined up. So that was a consequence of stolen Social Security numbers being used to, for illegals to, say, be employed.
5 minutes to the bottom of the hour here on Boomer Tech Radio. And yet another scam. This one is targeting college students.
Oh, my gosh. I had no idea about this. And this apparently has been going on for quite some time. It's an employment scam. And this article comes from the FBI, actually. And they have a formal alert out. And you can Google a lot of these things. So what happens is that scammers post online job advertisements soliciting college students to apply, especially for administrative positions. And this is not FBI jobs. This is, you know, in general. Mm-hmm. A student employee receives counterfeit checks in the mail or via email and is instructed to deposit those checks into their personal checking account. Red flag. Mm-hmm. The scammer directs the student to withdraw funds from their checking account and send a portion via wire transfer to another individual. Another red flag. Then the transfer of funds... often the transfer of funds is to a vendor, reportedly for equipment, materials, or software necessary for the job. And, of course, the checks bounce and are fraudulent, considered fraudulent by the bank. So at the very least, if you know someone who doesn't really know about this sort of thing, at least teach them, do not spend that money, turn around and spend that money, until the bank has confirmed that the funds are actually there.
Yeah, it's a variation on a very old scam where somebody would this was very big on Craigslist a few years ago. Somebody would buy an item from you and then send you a check for like $100 more, and you contact them and say, well, wait a minute, you sent me too much money. Oh, darn it, you know what, just deposit the check, you know, because I don't want to go through the hassle rewriting the check. I misunderstood you, deposited a check and wire me the difference. Well, of course, a check turns out to be a piece of paper.
So this is, yeah, exactly. And so the messages that they might see is you need some materials, software, and also a time tracker to commence your training and orientation for this job. I have forwarded your startup progress report to the HR department, and they will be facilitating your startup funds. Enclosed is your first check. You know, come on, what employer hands you a check up front?
That's right, right.
Particularly for startup, new employees, young.
If it sounds too good to be true. Yeah.
It more than likely is. So some of the consequences of the scam for young people are that the student's bank account might be closed, and a report could be filed with law enforcement about this fraudulent activity. The student may be responsible for the amount of the counterfeit checks. Scamming incident could adversely affect the student's credit record, and the scammers may often do obtain personal information from the student that allows them to go do exactly the kind of things we were talking about earlier.
Online employment forms, even if they don't do the check thing, in the course of filling out an application, if they start asking for your bank information,
yes,
for direct deposit, boom. Gotcha, because you've got a name, an address, a Social Security number,
yep,
and all this stuff. The only thing you should put a Social Security number on is when you are employed, you,
yep,
fill out,
yep,
what is it, the W-9, or I think it is?
Right. The employer will need that, but that's when you get there face-to-face and know that you actually have a job. And so, you know, and this is devastating to a young person there. You know, there's indications that they have this job, which they really don't have. And it's very sad when this happens. So teach your young people, don't be victims of a phishing attack. Those are several red flags in there.
Yep.
Bad, bad, bad.
Absolutely. Hey, it's Bob and Brenda on Boomer Tech Radio. Tech news you can use. Of course, we're online at boomertechradio.com. Back after these messages, more the goodies, the gadgets, the gizmos, and the tech news that you can use. It takes you to your place of work. It gets your kids to school, practice, recitals, and to visit friends and relatives. It takes you on your adventures, and it brings you home again safely. It's your car or light truck, and for most of us, it's our second biggest investment. So when your vehicle needs routine maintenance or major repairs, it just makes sense to go with the very best. Here in Shasta County, that means one thing: Advanced Automotive. Advanced Automotive is Redding's only shop that's listed on RepairPal.com, part of a nationwide network of shops that are regularly evaluated for superior training, guaranteed fair prices, and excellent customer reviews. And Advanced Automotive backs up their work with something you won't get anywhere else, a 24-month, 24,000-mile warranty. Don't just take my word for it. Log on to RepairPal.com, enter your make, model, and zip code, and read what your friends and neighbors have to say. Advanced Automotive, 5756 F West Side Road in Redding, 244-4423.
If you are running your own business, you already know that if there are 1,000 items on your to-do list, you really have 3,000 things to get done. Success in business is in the details. You need help. Let the smart professionals at Five Star Bank help you take care of those financial details. Yes. Smart people doing good business. Life is 10% of what happens to us and 90% of how we react to it. Be positive. Those at the top of the mountain did not fall there. Visit us at Five Star Bank and let us show you how we specialize in emerging business and commercial real estate. Five Star Bank also specializes in hard work, working hard for those that believe that success is just on the other side of the next opportunity. Thomas Jefferson was a great believer in opportunity, for he found that the harder he worked, the more he had of it. Your time is as valuable as your success. So visit us at Five Star Bank, 358 Hartnell in Redding, or call Eric Woodstrom at 223-6652. Online at fivestarbank.com. Five Star Bank, professional, progressive, and personal. Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender.
This is Terry Oxley, pastor of True Life Church in Bella Vista. The seeds of corruption are already in full bloom in our country. We see this by the extreme violence and morally bankrupt behavior demonstrated by people from every age group and walk of life. Sadly, this behavior is not something you catch, but it is learned. It's being taught in our colleges, evangelized through TV and movies, and substantiated by the media. Your best protection from this vile corruption is having a living relationship with Jesus Christ. If you are looking for a no-nonsense church that's not afraid to talk about current issues and yet teaches the Bible, I invite you to be our guest. Our Sunday services are at 10 a.m. We are located on Deschutes Road, one block south of Highway 299 in Bella Vista. You can visit our website at truelifereading.com. We hope to see you soon, and remember, it's worth the ride.
This is Carl and Linda Bott. Join us Monday through Friday from 7 to 9 a.m. for Free Fire Radio right here on KCNR 1460. It's your town hall of the air. On Monday, we welcome Enjoy the Magazine and Enjoy the Store to find out what's going on this month with all the different regions up here in the North State. Other topics will include the Super Bowl, politics, and much more. All of this Monday right here, Free Fire Radio, KCNR 1460. Miss a day, miss a lot.
Hi, I'm Dr. Kara Tennant with CARE Animal Hospital, and I'm inviting you to join me on the Carl and Linda Morning Show. We will be discussing all of Redding's local pet needs and how to keep your pet happy, healthy, and safe. CARE Animal Hospital is a local veterinary clinic located on the corner of Hilltop Drive and Lake Boulevard. Make sure your best friend has the best possible care today.
Join Dr. Kara Tennant on Friday, February 17th on Free Fire Radio here on AM 1460 KCNR.
From working families to small businesses or government agencies, it's important to have quality care for the cars and light trucks that are essential to getting the job done. Here in the North State, that means Advanced Automotive of Reading, where they pride themselves on old-fashioned honesty, quality personal attention, and personal responsibility to get the work done right the first time. Why else would they be able to offer a 24-month, 24,000-mile warranty on their repairs? Every mechanic at Advanced Automotive is an ASC-certified master technician who takes pride in their work, something that's earned Advanced Automotive recognition from RepairPal.com, the leading provider of auto repair and maintenance information to consumers. From the family minivan, your daughter's first car, or a yard full of company vehicles, Advanced Automotive should be your go-to repair shop. Advanced Automotive of Reading, 5756 F Westside Road. Call 244-4423 or check the customer reviews at RepairPal.com.
And we're back at Boomer Tech Radio. And, you got to hand it to these people in terms of their creativity.
Oh, my gosh. Unbelievable.
Identity fraud.
It just infuriates you, too, because you feel like you have no control over this stuff. And in some ways, you don't. If you go apply for credit somewhere, you don't know where that information goes. It's the same thing of if you want to use your credit card at the gas station and you don't want to use the reader at the pump, you can take your card inside and leave it with a clerk. That is a really, really, really bad idea.
Yeah, yeah.
Do not let that thing out of your sight. And, you know, the same could be said for restaurants as well. Some restaurants will actually, you know, use your card on a square or something at the table, which is kind of nice.
Yeah.
Because it's never out of your sight. To the point of where we've gotten very much to where we'll just use cash at a restaurant.
Exactly.
And I'm going back to cash more and more.
This could spur the rise of things like Bitcoin.
Yeah, possibly, but it's not without its problems
as
well.
Which can be fraudulent, but blockchain technology is very, very resistant because it creates a unique identifier for each transaction. That makes it a little tougher on the bad guys. Speaking of your dollars at work and new technology, Brent, and now for those of you who maybe are listening to this show for the very, very first time, and going, what the hell are these people talking about? Brenda's real job, the one that brings home bacon.
Well,
in fact, you did bring home bacon last night.
Kent's bacon, yeah.
As a weather forecaster, but not the television variety. She works for the U.S. Forest Service in fire weather, which is talk about a niche job.
Yeah, it's highly specialized work.
One of the things you rely on, though, is satellite imagery to kind of get an overview of what's going on. And up until now, I wasn't even aware of this. We've had weather satellites for a long, long, long time.
Indeed.
Some of the earliest satellites were there to snap pictures of what the clouds were doing. But in those days, the earliest days, you got a picture once a day that had to be dropped by, you know, parachute or something.
Well, it's not.
Literally.
Yeah, it's kind of that bad. It was kind of that bad. But in my 35 years in the business, there have been numerous iterations. You know, we started out with a GOES satellite, and GOES sounds for Geostationary Orbiting Environmental Satellite, I believe is what GOES stands for, or something on that order anyway. The G is geostationary.
Yeah, yeah.
And the S is satellite, so what's in between and whatever. But anyway.
In the Clark Belt, it is known.
Yeah, it's out there. So what at about 22,500 miles out there, above the Earth is a band of satellites that it rotates around the Earth as the Earth rotates under it. So it's always looking at the same place on the Earth. That's why they call it geosynchronous. So it rotates as it rotates around the Earth rotates under it, and it always has the same view. Now, why is this tech news you can use? Well, this round of satellites that's up now, the newest one is GOES 16. And I remember GOES 7 and 8. That's how far back this goes. Was just launched very successfully. It's operating very well. And I really encourage you to go online and just Google GOES 16 NASA recent images or something like that. GOES 16 NASA images will do it. And it'll pop right up with this great story from NASA that has unbelievable pictures in it. And I've used satellite imagery that's fuzzy and whatnot. There's also polar orbiting satellites that will send pictures twice a day.
And they take
images of the Earth, and then they stitch them together digitally. And there's a lot of stitching that goes on in the GOES series too, but there's like 16 channels in this imager. But what is the most exciting thing for us in the weather business is two things. One is the resolution of these images are basically HD. We can see fine detail.
I mean, they finally figured out how to put a smartphone in a satellite.
That kind of thing, exactly. And so there's a neat thing in this article where it compares infrared in the new look versus the old look. And it's like putting on glasses for the first time and having things come into focus. But the most exciting thing, and that are just stunning, is the fact that in the visible range, we now have color imagery.
Which is odd, because you would think that was automatically happening already.
No. It's always been in a black and white mode, grayscale mode, actually, with 256 choices, from the blackest of blacks to the whitest of whites and everything in between. But there are 256 different colors
in
the grayscale.
Scales of gray.
Scales of gray that the satellite would report depending on the data that it gets.
That's basically
this
an 8-bit system.
This obviously is – this is not my internship day's satellite. And these images, these color images that are coming in from GOES 16 are just stunning to the point – they're in detail to the point you can tell in the Caribbean – you can see the shallower water, the difference in the ocean color around the islands where it's that beautiful turquoise blue. You can see that from 22,500 miles out in space. You can see dust blowing out of the Sahara. You can see all kinds of things that, we could see before, but not in color. And if nothing else, from an everyday person's perspective, these are just stunning images of our planet, and they're gorgeous.
Now, are the GOES
absolutely beautiful?
Now, is data from GOES part of what goes into like Google Earth, or is that a whole different setup? Where do those images come from?
Probably not. I'm going to guess those come from polar orbiters. Originally, I think a lot of that came from the Landsat system, which I think is still operating. And those are polar orbiters. Polar orbiters orbit at a much lower altitude. They're like 120 some miles up or something like that. I'd have to look that up. But they're much, much closer to the Earth's surface, so they can see things really well.
It's a common question, by the way.
Google
Earth, let me see here. Continue while I
look this up while you sleuth that out. Okay. So, why should you care about this? Well, hopefully weather forecasts will improve, although I make no guarantee of that because that's a tricky thing anyway. But these images are just worth looking at. So what they do with these satellites is they launch them and they put them up there, and it's going through a whole series of tests. And it's performing well. It's sent back images, so we know it's operating right. And there's two. There's a GOES East and a GOES West. The GOES West one always focuses out in the Pacific and looks at the western United States, and GOES East is just the opposite, of course. It sees mostly the eastern seaboard, eastern United States, and the Atlantic. So once they get done with these tests in May, they're going to announce whether GOES 16 is going to become GOES West or GOES East. And then next year, the pairing satellite is going to be launched. GOES 17 will be launched in early 18. How about that? And when they get that up and running, assuming it makes it up there, cross your fingers, then whichever one the 16 becomes, west or east, then 17 will become the other one, west or east, whichever way it goes.
According to the Google Earth support page, the satellite and aerial images that are used to make Google Earth are taken by cameras on satellites and aircraft, which collect each image at a specific date and time. What you see when you pull up Google Earth is a digital composite of these several different sources. And, of course, it is not updated in real time. The average Google Earth image is, if it's an urban area, it might be once a month. If it's out in the hinterlands, it could be once a year updating. But it's interesting because even just a couple of years ago, we were able to zoom down on our own property, because you like to look at your own
place. Of course. Who doesn't look at their own house on
Google
Earth?
We can tell that that was our boat.
Or check up on the neighbors.
Yeah. And that actually, a lot of agencies are using Google Earth to say, you know, there's a pool there where there shouldn't be a pool.
Well, there wasn't one, actually.
Well, there wasn't one before.
Yeah. Guess what? Your property taxes go up.
Did you pull your permits? You know. And there are those who say that's too much Big Brother. Well,
is what it is.
It is what it is. And people say, well, that's over my property. You can't be over my property. Well,
it doesn't work that way.
Case law has pretty much established that you own the air up to about 1,000 feet, if I recall the numbers correctly. Up above that, because there were people who tried to charge airplanes for flying over their property.
It's like beachfront property.
Right.
You know, you're only going to own maybe down to the high tide line, maybe, depending on how whatever the laws are in that state.
The limit might be 450 feet. I recall that number somewhere.
Okay.
So it's to allow aircraft to fly.
It's not very far.
Yeah, it's like navigable waters of the oceans.
Yeah,
a country can't claim the ocean out to 500 miles.
Right.
Or
it
something.
Go look this article up. It's was published recently, and the images are all from about the middle of January. And it the last image in the article really shows you the difference between GOES 16 and 13 in the visible range, where the grayscale visible versus the color visible. And I can see some interesting things coming out of this professionally, in that we're going to see cloud structures that we haven't seen before. And it's going to take some time to adjust. Well, what does that mean? Mm-hmm. And it's not that we didn't see some of these details, but it's like anything else. When you get a little more detail, you go, "Ooh, that could be significant."
It's when you get those shiny new prescription glasses from the optometrist, and you go, "Wow!"
Yeah, exactly.
Or your brother.
Yeah.
Airplanes there.
They're blind as a bat. And first pair of glasses, he realized there was a wider world than within 100 feet of the car.
He'd
been
going past this airfield for
his whole
years.
Life.
Yeah. And only realized there were actually airplanes parked at this place. When
he got eyeballs.
Glasses.
Yeah. And one last thing, if you do look this article up and you see this big, beautiful image of Earth in color in the visible range, right smack in the middle of the Earth along the equator is what looks like a bunch of fog, a bright spot. Well, it is a bright spot. That's actually a sun glint.
Oh, geez.
And we actually see the Earth reflect solar radiation back out to space, just like off a sun glint is like when you get that really bright spot off the car's rear window ahead of you when you're driving, and there's that real kills your eyeball. That's called a sun glint.
Paging J.J. Abrams, there's a sun flare on that picture.
Yeah, it's just
you have to
like
be
that.
A movie nut to realize what I just. What I just said there.
They're always lens flares.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Speaking of movies, we signed up, of course, for HBO Now through our Amazon account. Love it. There's more stuff than we can keep track of. But we do occasionally still like to go out to movies. And the movie we want to go see soonest, if it's still in the theaters, and I think it is because it's up for an Academy Award, of course, is Arrival.
Yeah, I understand it's very good. So.
Not to be confused with The Arrival, which was back in the 1990s. But Arrival, it looks to be a real interesting – it has to do with communications.
Speaking of movies, sci-fi movies specifically, you might mention a project you're involved with.
Oh, well, we're thinking about, and if you're interested in this, I would love to get some feedback and maybe some ideas. I've been talking with the Cascade Theater about maybe having a movie festival during the summer months with some of the great classics of science fiction.
The Day the Earth Stood Still.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
You know?
That would be like the theme, different themes, like The Day the Earth Stood Still and Forbidden Planet, both relied heavily on electronic music.
Oh, yes. And
the theremin.
The special effects techniques available at the time.
Correct.
Were amazingly done. I mean, they did incredible things. And then what's the one, Journey to the Moon?
There are several that
Was like a sci-fi movie where there's all of the kind of theater. That was one of the early ones where there was this gap, bridge kind of between a theater movie set kind of look and movie.
Yeah. and I know the movie you're talking about, and it was one of the earliest.
I can't think of the name of it, but anyway.
It was a takeoff on From Earth to the Moon. So I want to think about getting involved in that, because I think that would be a real fun thing to do.
Well, and that's very much in line with what the Cascade does. They have a number of film series that they do that are thematic mm-hmm. of classic movies. And so why not do a sci-fi one?
That would be fun.
You know, they did Frankenstein for Halloween. That's a theme-appropriate type thing. That was great.
We talk on this show about Captain Kirk stuff every day now, with the exception of the transporter. We've got most...
And FTL.
And Faster Than Light Travel,
right.
Most of that stuff is in our hands right now, 200 years early.
So amazing. Yeah, well, I don't know if you'd say 200 years early, but only 50 years after... these ideas were first aired on television.
Mm-hmm. If you own a... Now, Barnes & Noble has, for years, tried to market their very own reading device to go head-to-head with the Amazon Kindle. In order to take a brick-and-mortar environment and extend it out into a digital delivery system. The Nook tablet originally was built custom for Barnes & Noble. It had a lot of problems. Did not sell well. It was overpriced, underpowered, had a lot of issues. So
the screen wasn't terribly appealing.
Right, it had a very low contrast screen, monochrome. It had a bunch of issues. So they pulled those off the market and then contacted. Actually, I think Samsung makes the current iteration of the Nook 7 tablet. Well, they're having some problems, and it's not the battery in this issue.
Samsung's had its battery problems.
It's the part that charges the battery.
Right.
The
charger.
The company has issued a recall notice for the power adapter that ships with the tablet. The U.S. Consumer Product Safety Commission has said that the power adapter casing can break when plugged into an electrical socket, exposing the metal prongs sticking out there with 110 volts.
Ooh,
live
zappy,
on them.
Yeah. That could be dangerous.
The Barnes & Noble has received 4 reports of the power adapter falling apart, exposing the metal prongs. No injuries yet reported. Commission recommends all customers immediately stop using the power adapters. Instead, charge the device using a computer USB cable and then register for a free replacement. Now, by the way, boys and girls, if you did not know, if your device charges with a micro USB connector, which outside of the Apple world is pretty much the connector these days for everything, that's going to change in the next few years to USB-C. But right now, USB micro connector is pretty universal.
Yep. I can't think of anything I have outside of the company's Apple phone that doesn't have that.
And as long as the USB charger has sufficient current, your device doesn't really care if you're using a Samsung charger or a Amazon charger or whatever. The caution I would give you there, of course, is be wary of the one that you buy from the kid on the push cart at the mall. Because
or out of the gas station.
Yeah, or at the gas station, because those can have poor construction. Makes me wonder if Barnes & Noble just went down to the mall and picked up a bunch of these.
Well, you know, not to disparage those people trying to have a little business. That isn't where we're coming from. It's that, and how's a consumer to know? You really don't know. But these companies have to cut costs somewhere, and these are the kind of things that happen. Or they get bilked. They think they're buying something higher quality than the company, you know, offering it to their customers than they really are. Because there's all kinds of ways to make that, you know, get derailed, the quality gets derailed. But Bob's point is it if you have one of these and you get a charger that's bad, hey, go for the $5 gift card that comes with this thing. That makes it worth returning it. But know that you don't have to. It's not like your Nook can't be charged.
Yeah.
In the meantime,
if you have a USB port on your computer, plug it into the computer.
Absolutely.
Your USB ports will supply up to 1.1 amps.
Which is
for your
kind
device.
Of the bottom line. Yeah.
It'll take overnight, but it will charge.
Yeah, if the power isn't sufficient, the device will let you know by not going into charge mode. And if it doesn't have enough power to keep the device happy, it just won't charge it. So Walworts is a good way to go. I love the Samsung Walmart, Walwart. That thing.
It's a robust
little
monster.
Yeah, a robust little monster, and it charges everything quickly.
Yeah. And if you have an Apple type charger for an iPad, that will deliver sufficient current to. Your Samsung phone is not going to explode if you try to charge it with an iPad
Sony,
charger.
Yeah,
it won't care.
Exactly. It's just a power source. The same thing with my little Samsung Walmart. My Samsung Walmart. I did it again. I hate that. Walwart. Oh dear. Is going to power your Apple devices. You just have to have the right connectors. And the Walwart has the USB, usually, that you can plug in that, and it all just depends on what's on the other end that plugs into the device. And one of my coworkers gave me a micro USB to, lightning connector? Isn't that what
right.
Apple calls them?
Yeah.
Yeah, a little adapter. So really, I only need one cord in this little adapter.
To the rule them all.
Almost.
Yeah, almost. Yeah.
And I can charge everything I've got.
Most new laptops, by the way, are going to start coming with these USB-C connectors. You've been hearing us talk about them for a while. You can actually, they don't have to be turned a particular way. The micro USB is kind of D-shaped, and if you're trying to get it in upside down, you can really wreck your phone's connector.
Right. This one doesn't care.
Because you can't tell, you can hardly tell by looking at it that it's slightly flared on one side of the connector. Lightning connector and now the new USB-C doesn't care. Plugs in one way, plugs in the other way.
Yep.
And USB-C is capable of delivering up to 3 amps of current.
That's nice because it'll charge things faster. But you have to be careful with that too because that's pumping a lot of energy into your batteries and hopefully the battery can handle it.
Right. And this is why.
But the battery has some smarts, doesn't it?
Right. The battery has charge limiting. Unless, of course, you're Samsung and you're trying to cram more power into a very small space.
Poor Samsung.
Or it's a cheesy, cheap outfit. One thing, if you have a cord and you notice that your device just isn't charging very fast and it's one of those real thin, skimpy, flat cords, probably the wire is too small.
So it's not delivering.
Because a small wire cannot carry large amounts of current because it has a natural resistance that is a function of the diameter. So to make these cords really flexible, they don't make them out of solid copper. What they do is they wrap copper foil, if you will, around a fabric center, which makes them extremely flexible.
But they're really thin.
They have very low current carrying capability.
Unfortunately, that's the case with one of my favorite ones because I can find it in my bag because of its color.
Right.
Speaking of connectors and universality and so on and so forth, in a business capacity, if you have older technology used to display stuff from your computer to the screen, such as PowerPoints or, you're working on a document collectively, VGA was the big thing and still is for a lot of the stuff that we have set up. So if you have a conference room, for instance, where the projector is ceiling mounted and everything connects via cable somewhere, you're probably still dealing with VGA.
Which is the 15-pin D-type connector.
Yep.
You look at it, it's like a D turned on its side with a whole mess of pins in it. That is what's called a D-sub or VGA connector.
About an inch wide or so, that sort of thing.
Yep.
Well, now modern computers and the way the industry is going is wandering towards HDMI as an output off your video card.
Yeah. The D-sub is what's called a legacy connector now. So what do you do?
Yeah. What do you do?
So there are adapters. If you have there's a few major connections to get video out of your computer. The new kit on the block, USB-C, which is a universal power data and video connector.
We're not seeing much of that yet.
Not seeing much of it, but you will.
Yeah.
Most laptops now have what's called an HDMI, same connector that you're going to find on your big screen TV, your DVD, your Blu-ray player, things like that. About 3/4 inch wide, kind of flat. And it looks an awful lot like the other major connector on the block that gamers are very fond of called the DisplayPort connector.
You can actually put a USB, an HDMI in a DisplayPort.
No, you can't. You'll break it.
Okay.
And that's been a problem where people are trying
too much
to
alike.
Force that. If it doesn't go easy, don't force it. Because an HDMI and a DisplayPort look so much alike.
They do.
You can mess them up. Now, Apple fixed that problem. Their DisplayPort connector is actually a little square guy.
Pretty obvious.
It's tied in with their Thunderbolt.
It's pretty obvious. So you can get adapters. You can go online, find them. We found that HDMI to VGA is about $30.
You can find them for $10.
$10 to $30.
Those are junk.
Yeah, and buy from a fairly reputable source. These are coming, and the USB 3 thing coming up as well. So the point
USB C.
USB C. Sorry,
we do this and we get confused.
Terminology. Yeah, is that if you have a business and have these things, you're probably going to be looking at some upgrade the next time that you buy your next round of computers.
And speaking of the next round, hope you will stick around for the next round of Boomer Tech Radio. Our theme music composed and performed by George Wood. It's called 8-Bit Junkie, used by permission off the PodSafe Music Network. It's Bob and Brenda saying, wherever you go, whatever you do, be safe and be good to each other. Good, honest, reliable. More than two decades ago, an auto repair shop opened in Reading based on those simple principles. Advanced Automotive is still family-owned, continuing on with those same ideals. So simple, yet rare in today's world. Modern cars and light trucks have grown more complex in the past 20-plus years, but those founding concepts still hold just as much importance when it comes to safety, reliability, and value for your dollar. Advanced Automotive of Reading promises that your vehicle will be serviced confidently by a technician with the training and knowledge to make professional repairs. Read what your friends and neighbors have to say about Advanced Automotive by going to RepairPal.com, where you can get an instant estimate of what you can expect to pay for your service or repair. Honest work at a fair price. It's not all that complicated. Advanced Automotive of Reading, 244-4423, or stop by 5756 F West Side Road.
Thank you for listening to KCNR 1460 AM, community radio for the North State. This is KCNR, Shasta, Reading.
A deep breath. Let's not lose our head, especially with a brand new administration. I try to give them the benefit of the doubt.
Democrat Steny Hoyer.
The advice you give to your children?
Yes.
About taking a breath?
Yes.
Perhaps before they tweet? Would you do me a favor?
My kids don't tweet.
Would you? That's good advice as well.
That conversation coming in the wake of what now appear to be routine late-night tweet storms from the president.
Capitol Hill correspondent Wally Hines. Meanwhile, the Supreme Court is set to hear the case of a Virginia school board that wants to prevent so-called transgender teenager from using the boys' bathroom at her school. Arguments are set for March 28th. Tonight, the newest electees into the Pro Football Hall of Fame will be announced. The Super Bowl is tomorrow in Houston. And it was on this date in February 4th, 1789, that electors chose George Washington to be the first president of the United States. News and analysis at townhall.com. I'm Ron DeRockstra.
This is Michael Medved for Relief Factor with an email that came in from Nicole. She writes, I'm 34 years old and I have severe lower back pain for 20 years and I've been taking prescription painkillers for about 6 to 7 years now. Even when taking those painkillers, it was pain almost every day for me. I'm just completely amazed now that after 2 days of taking Relief Factor, I've had no more back pain. I'm on my fifth day today and so thankful that my fiance suggested that I try this. Thank you, Relief Factor, for giving me my pain-free life back. You should enjoy a pain-free life, too. Everybody should enjoy a pain-free life, of course, and you can do that with Relief Factor. You know what it is? It's all natural. It's a dietary supplement, completely safe. Just read the testimonials. Go to ReliefFactor.com. That's ReliefFactor.com. Use their quick start to get you set up for 3 whole weeks, just $19.95. ReliefFactor.com. You have nothing to lose but your pain and the whole world to gain. ReliefFactor.com.
More marches against the U.S. travel ban taking place across Europe, including London. Charles de Ledesma has our report.
London is seeing another big march against President Donald Trump's ban on admitting travellers and refugees from seven predominantly Muslim countries to America. The protesters are also calling on British Prime Minister Theresa May to withdraw an invitation for a state visit to President Trump. The protest and others across Europe follows the temporary blocking of the ban by a federal judge on Friday. The White House, however, says it would try to get a court to reinstate the ban. One organiser of the London march told the AP she thought people worldwide would disgusted at Trump's action. I'm Charles de Ledesma, London.
Rebels in eastern Ukraine say they've lost a top commander in the explosion of his car, which also killed another occupant in Lugansk City. Fighting in eastern Ukraine sharply escalated this week. You can find more on these stories. Just log on to townhall.com. I'm Ron DeRockstra. The number of people traveling to Hawaii neared 9 million in 2016 as visitor spending and arrival figures hit records for the fifth straight year.
The Hawaii Tourism Authority also reports 8.9 million visitors came to Hawaii, up 3% from 2015. Tourists spent $15.6 billion in the islands, a 4% increase over the previous year. The state's director of tourism research says a recovering U.S. housing market boosted travel to the islands, as have stable oil prices.
Jeremy House reporting. Delaware State Police say a prison building that was the site of an inmate uprising last week in which a guard died has been turned back over to the Delaware Department of Correction. State Police say the investigation into the uprising and the 20-plus hour hostage send-off is expected to be, in their words, lengthy and arduous. Read more news and analysis at townhall.com. I'm Ron DeRockstra.
It takes you to your place of work. It gets your kids to school, practice, recitals, and to visit friends and relatives. It takes you on your adventures, and it brings you home again safely. It's your car or light truck, and for most of us, it's our second biggest investment. So when your vehicle needs routine maintenance or major repairs, it just makes sense to go with the very best. Here in Shasta County, that means one thing: Advanced Automotive. Advanced Automotive is Redding's only shop that's listed on RepairPal.com, part of a nationwide network of shops that are regularly evaluated for superior training, guaranteed fair prices, and excellent customer reviews. And Advanced Automotive backs up their work with something you won't get anywhere else, a 24-month, 24,000-mile warranty. Don't just take my word for it. Log on to RepairPal.com, enter your make, model, and zip code, and read what your friends and neighbors have to say. Advanced Automotive, 5756 F West Side Road in Reading, 244-4423.
Hello, once again, it's Boomer Tech Radio. I am Bob Belongi.
And I'm Brenda Belongi.
Analog living in a digital world. That's what we do and have done for the past 7 years. Goodies, gadgets, gizmos, the tech news that you can use. Brought to you in Redding, California by Advanced Automotive at Redding. Safe, reliable car care for their customers and our community. Look them up at RepairPal.com. So, wow. So, you know, one of the big things, Brenda, down at Consumer Electronics Show, CES, they don't like it when you call it Consumer Electronics Show, but you say at the CES.
Like everybody knows what CES is.
And people look at you like, well, what's that?
You know, I think most people know what the IRS is.
Yeah.
But not everybody knows what the CES is.
Yeah.
So in spite of that, we'll continue to use both.
Continue to elucidate.
Yes.
and illuminate.
Yes.
Which is the idea of the show.
Yep, indeed.
But the big thing down there at the show, of course, was VR. The other big thing was
AR.
Echo.
Well, augmented reality, virtual reality, and Echo, and which voice is voice command.
Voice command,
yeah,
system.
Absolutely.
Report from DigiDay says that 36% of content publishers are starting to move into VR and AR type system, type of entertainment.
Not in the least bit surprised. How long before we get into an art form where you have the graphic novel already in a comic book style, right?
Mm-hmm.
But how long before we get into an art form that is essentially
already being done?
You're reading the story, but there's video that goes with it, type of thing.
Actually, that's not a new concept because Ray Bradbury's breakthrough work, Fahrenheit 451, involved what they called a parlor. And in the parlor, you had a wall-size video screen. Remember, this is the 1950s. a wall-sized video screen where the characters on the screen would know who was watching and address them by name.
That's pretty cool.
Now, that's pretty damn visionary.
That's a very interactive type thing.
Right.
Fahrenheit 451 being, of course, a reference to the fact that paper catches fire at 451 degrees Fahrenheit.
And that...
There was a censorship kind
right,
of thing going on in the story.
Books, paper books were forbidden.
Yes.
Because that was how people got new ideas.
They were burned.
And they would be burned by the firemen.
Right.
And that way all knowledge was controlled
yep.
by the government via the mass media.
Correct.
We'll just leave it there because now I'm scaring myself. Anyway... So there's a couple of different ways, and we've been tinkering around with virtual reality as a term since the 1980s and 90s. But at the time, the hardware was so heavy, clunky, slow, we just couldn't make it happen. Now with basically a full-blown computer that you can just hold in the palm of your hand, complete with display, you can take that display, stick it into a framework, and bingo, you've got a virtual reality headset that, yeah, right now it's kind of iffy, but just like the weather satellite pictures used to be, compared to how they can be now, we covered that in a previous episode. VR is just starting to get some legs under it, and even at the very primitive stage at which VR is at this moment, you put this darn thing on, as Brenda did in the Verizon store, and she's pointing at stuff yeah. that nobody else can see.
Yeah, I know. It was so funny when I realized that. It's like, wait a minute, you can't see what I can see. So that's kind of, I imagine I look really stupid. The thing about it is it doesn't have to be in motion in VR. You know, what comes to mind here is the, you know, coffee table books were popular for a while, right? Mm-hmm. You know, National Geographic, what have you. Well, imagine taking one of those National Geographic books and putting it in VR. You look at the pictures that way, but they're all three-dimensional, and you can move your head around and see that environment. You can't smell it or hear it, although that will be next. Obviously, that would be part of it. It's such a different experience than looking at a flat picture in a book because you can turn your head and look.
Now, I was interested there's a couple of things on the burner that are coming through. One of them is what's known as Project Sansar, which is developed by the people who created Second Life, which is an online virtual 3D environment. You're experiencing it through a computer screen, but it's all generated in real time. And it's a 14, 15-year-old platform now, but it still provides a user experience that is very, very immersive. Well, now take that and put it in a wraparound environment where by turning your head, you are changing your point of view. Now you've got a complete game changer.
Yep.
Imagine instead of watching the football game from the sidelines, you're either flying overhead or you're right down there on the line of scrimmage.
Right.
A little scary thought.
Of course, we might remind folks that virtual reality, when there's video involved, is making some people motion sick.
Right.
Because the eyes and the body are not experiencing the same thing. But a good example of where that can happen is where they're using these in roller coasters, for instance, at amusement parks.
Or the ride chairs that we saw at,
right.
at CES, where
right.
we saw a couple of, and
cars.
I've got the video that I want
to
post.
Yeah.
Yeah. They've got these guys in virtual reality headsets, and the vehicle is bouncing along. It's a simulator-type device. It's
right.
just a framework with hydraulics on it.
Right.
But it adds that level of wow, because now you're in it would roll forward and back. It's kind of like those really cheesy Star Trek experience,
yes.
Disney
yeah.
rides.
Simulator-type things.
That would make you want to puke when you...
Well, yeah,
again,
because
your eyes weren't agreeing
right,
with what was going on.
Exactly. You could feel bumps and pokes and things like that, but when it came to flying along or something. So in this case, because it was car-based, obviously what the person was seeing, and the line was always so long, we never actually did it, but having you know, read about this a little bit, what the people, what the person's seeing and what they're experiencing in this seat in the car all kind of matches up with what you would expect in a car if you were, you know, going in a tight turn or making a sudden stop or something like that. Although I don't think they did that. But anyway, in a roller coaster, they take you on different trips. And the motion in what you see and what your body is going through is the same thing. So this is cool because if you have a roller coaster that you've been on a bazillion times and are kind of tired of it, now you can pick from any number of trips and ride it a bazillion times, and now you have a different trip every time.
So right now, things like smart glasses, very, very much in their infancy. But it, and but we've heard of the Snapchat glasses, which allow you to send little video snippets of your daily life out to share with all your friends.
As if anybody wants to know.
There's a little creepy factor to that.
Yeah, nobody wants to know what I'm doing every second of my life.
But let's suppose that you have a pair of stylish glasses on, and trust me, the military is all over this one. As you stroll down the street, you're getting navigational cues because presumably you're on your way to the shoe store. But noting the time of day and knowing what it is that your lunch preferences are, you may see a little notice pop up in your heads-up display that says, hey, you're close to such and such a restaurant. This is on special today. Now, that has a certain level of intrusiveness, but how many of us have been in a unsure location, you know, in a new location, some town we don't know, and we go, God, where can I get a burger? Or where can I get something to eat?
Yeah, or what's near me type of thing.
Exactly.
You know,
of course,
I'm hungry.
We can do that with our smartphones.
Right, but in terms of you know, walking down the street and
where can I get some coffee?
Yeah, whatever. That's, you know, a block ahead type of thing.
So we're going to see this stuff being built into our day-to-day environment. And Snapchat, which started out as just another social network. with the Snap glasses and the other things, they're actually moving into being on the forefront of this thing with overlay. Now, if you've watched any sporting events lately, you know, the lines that appear on the field for the 50, you know, to go in the advertisements on that's all computer-generated virtual reality overlays. And now Snapchat.
Isn't that amazing type of stuff? Well, Snapchat's newest lenses may make any surface into a billboard. So this is kind of crazy. They have their, you know, filters and whatever on their lenses, but it could overlay images or advertisements onto a variety of real-world objects. So this is some kind of – they have a picture here simulating this of a like a billboard, like you're driving down the highway, and it would recognize that and, boom, put an ad or what have you on that. So, you know, you're the only one seeing this. Well, other people that have the same thing on may see it as well. But, you know, this is a way to do advertising in a new way. It's really kind of interesting. So, you know, these are a twist on augmented reality. Mm-hmm. Obviously, it's going to generate a revenue stream for somebody. But on the other hand, you're not always looking at the same ads, maybe, or something.
According to an article in Engadget, there's a developer who wants to combine the Vive VR headset, which is an open source headset, with a Microsoft HoloLens. The virtual and augmented reality can be easily combined so that observers can share in a VR experience.
There you go. I can see what you can see.
Yeah.
I think. Or let me share this thing I have that you can't see yet, but you're going to see it because I'm sharing it with you.
Right. So instead of you going to the furniture store,
right,
when you're picking out furniture for your new house, the salesperson actually comes to your house, you put on these glasses, and here's what the couch will look like in your corner.
Right.
Boom, it's there.
Right.
Can I get that in a plaid? Boom.
Yeah.
Can we change the wall colors to this? Boom.
Right.
And
interior design possibilities here are
absolutely endless.
Yeah.
I think a potted plant should go there. Boom.
Yeah.
And it's not really happening. And then when you've got the house the way you want it, then you order the products. You're not bringing home that China hutch that looked great in the store.
And then realize
it looks hideous.
Oops. It's like, that's not quite what I was expecting. Or, you know, the paint color in the room is like, ew, that's not going to work.
Yeah, that's not working with that couch. And, of course, the new hue-type lights that can change the lighting depending on the time of day or the mood or whatever. All things that promise to – and the thing with this is that rather than a store carrying a large inventory of all these different colors and things like that, with the addition of 3D-type manufacturing close to the retail location – they could actually manufacture. See, this is where the jobs are going to come back to America. We're not going to make millions of widgets, put them into boxes, and ship them all over the place to be taken out of a box, set up, and sold over the counter. And then the stuff that doesn't sell ends up getting scrapped. We're going to build on demand with very short turnaround times, which is far more efficient in terms of materials. And when you're done with that item, you take it back and get your deposit, it gets dismantled because most of the stuff is going to be made of polymers that can be melted down and recycled again.
Yeah.
Reducing the waste stream and definitely cutting. I mean, you hear people howling about carbon footprint. How efficient would this be to be able to manufacture things in on small, on-demand scales close to home and deliver them within a couple of days? Maybe the same day. That's where I'm seeing all this stuff going.
Pretty amazing.
So, another, speaking of virtual reality, of course, the big story this week about the Oculus Rift. Now, we've been hearing about Oculus Rift for years.
Speaking of VR.
Oculus Rift has been the golden child of virtual reality for 5 years that I can recall. So much so that Facebook bought them up to the tune of a few billion dollars a couple of years ago. But the courts just handed Facebook a gigantic loss.
$500 million
judgment. Facebook has, of course, that's kind of a bite. But when you have almost $9 billion in fourth quarter sales, selling what?
Yeah, I know.
Precisely.
Yeah.
The company found that the developers of the Oculus Rift had apparently taken some patents that they weren't allowed to take.
Ugh. Where does all that money go?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
Think about it. I mean, so a company, who do they pay? And it may be paying somebody for violated patents or something like that. But sometimes it's the government that imposes these fines. And I still want to know where that goes.
Yeah.
So, you know, just speculating.
The suit was brought by ZeniMax, publishers of the Elder Scrolls series, Fallout, which is a big series of games, and other well-known video titles. The allegation was that Oculus Rift stole trade secrets from ZeniMax. The jury didn't, and was demanding $4 billion in damages. The jury did not agree with that, did award the $500 million, of course, and Facebook is going to appeal, and they have lots of big, bad lawyers on their side. So it'll be interesting to see how this all plays out.
This reminds me of children in a sandbox. That's mine. No, that's mine. It's mine. And, of course, they argue over this because sometimes there are stolen patents and things like that. That's exactly why patents exist, so that people can't do that. But other times, I think it's just some sort of infighting is what it reminds me of. But you know, people do deserve to earn money for their patents, so that there's always money involved in these things, right?
Yeah.
So what else is in the news here that's of interest?
Well, let's see. So Facebook's lost somebody else who's struggling in the corporate world, one of the booths that we have to stop at, in fact, we were anticipating it, was, of course, GoPro. And GoPro is a very enthusiastic, some would say extremely aggressive company when it comes to their corporate culture. Now, there was a time when GoPro was talking to a very, at the time, very little-known company called DJI out of China about making an aerial flying platform. But the president of GoPro is a very tough guy to work with, according to people who have tried to do so. The deal fell through. DJI went on to develop the number one flying camera drone in the industry. GoPro said, oh, no, we've got to play catch-up here. And started working on a warfare type program of their own version of the flying of a drone that would mount a GoPro camera called the Karma, and it came out in November, actually. Well, things did not go well right off the bat when a couple of Karmas out for a flight suddenly lost power and plummeted to the ground. This is a bad thing when you just dropped $1,000 on a piece of hardware.
Yeah, and then people posted the videos of this occurring, and they went viral. This is not so good. And apparently they are having a great deal of trouble kind of recovering from this. But as you and I had noticed, Bob, GoPro has a lot of competition. And
they no longer completely own the action camera market, and they haven't adapted.
And there are some people, or there are features about the GoPro that are awkward to use. They have a ton of accessories, which is, you know, that's pretty cool. But they're not the only show in town. So for a while, they rode high on in the category, because they were the category. Mm-hmm. And also, I think early adopters tend to be a little geeky and put up with a bit of odd controls. And we have a number of GoPros, and they're okay for what they are, but they are not the only show in town. And certainly, I would go to DJI.
Oh, yes,
for
the DJI drone.
Or DJI, get that mixed up.
We have actually worked with somebody who has a DJI drone, got some footage for us that was just amazing.
Yeah, I would go there long before I went to whatever GoPro design, just because of experience with that. So, you know, it's really interesting. So, one story that's posted here on our clipboard.
By the way,
go ahead.
If you are, if you kind of like what you're hearing on this program, you want to see some of our sources that we draw upon to find things to talk to you about, go to the Flipboard app and sign up to subscribe to the Boomer Tech Radio Magazine. And it's a curated magazine with articles from all over the tech blogs and magazines and things like that. And it's stuff that we find interesting enough to pass along to you.
So social media apparently is not just for humans anymore.
Absolutely. Now, we like to tell people, in fact, we were telling our new accountant yesterday, that we were sort of, Brenda and I were sort of pioneers in that it was in 2004 when we met, back in the Stone Age, that we met through Match.com. And a lot of people weren't doing that yet.
Yeah.
Because smartphones weren't even really around per se. The closest thing to a smartphone was a BlackBerry or a Palm Pilot.
Yeah, but I didn't think, you know, this was that was at a time when what's that big one that Match?
eHarmony
was advertising a lot on all that kind of stuff. And
I've never figured that one out.
Well, whatever, you know, they're still around, I think.
Yeah, eHarmony is still there. They're trying to update themselves from Dr. Neil, whatever, you know.
Whatever, yeah. But the point is that was big on there. I thought that was kind of, you know, there were a lot of people doing that, but I guess not so much. But
well, it was just starting to catch up.
Yeah, and there were a number. Match.com was the one we happened to meet through, but there were other ones that were out there. And I think there's like Christian Singles now, and there's
everything from Christian Singles to Adult Friend Finder.
Yeah, exactly. And of course, who could forget the one for infidelity?
The Ashley Madison.
The Ashley Madison type things. Yes, that came along later.
A lot of guys would like to forget Ashley Madison.
Well, it may not just be guys. A lot of folks might be willing to forget Ashley Madison. But anyway, these things all came along to meet up people. Well, it turns out that a zoo in Amsterdam is going to be using Facebook to let a
Tinder.
Yeah. Well,
you're talking about the orangutan.
Yeah. Well, they were using Facebook to show that, you know, maybe you want to think about having some kids. Mm-hmm. And so, yeah, now they're using Tinder to show pictures of available males around the world as potential mating partners for this poor gal. Now, think about that. That's pretty funny. So they have, you know, they're going to figure this out. It's part of a 4-year experiment, and they're going to, you know, see if this one, I think it's Samboja is how her name is pronounced. I'm not sure about that completely, but they'll take a look at how she responds to the images of her potential available partners. So this is going to be kind of interesting. Now, who has not seen a cat or a dog watch television, right?
Right.
So especially the cats looking at birds. I have a coworker whose dog very studiously watches television, especially if there's another dog on there. And yet they can't smell them. They can, you know, hear them, and they can see them, but they can't smell them. And that's what always baffles cats, it seems like. You know, they can't smell the bird. So at any rate, you know, you just never know.
One hiccup in the program, wherever they have to come up with an orangutan-proof tablet upon being shown the first tablet, the 11-year-old orangutan promptly destroyed it.
Yeah, so are they going to do VR headsets for the orangutans, too? That would be really confusing.
It's Boomer Tech Radio, back with more of the tech news you can use right after this.
From working families to small businesses or government agencies, it's important to have quality care for the cars and light trucks that are essential to getting the job done. Here in the North State, that means Advanced Automotive of Reading, where they pride themselves on old-fashioned honesty, quality personal attention, and personal responsibility to get the work done right the first time. Why else would they be able to offer a 24-month, 24,000-mile warranty on their repairs? Every mechanic at Advanced Automotive is an ASC-certified master technician who takes pride in their work, something that's earned Advanced Automotive recognition from RepairPal.com, the leading provider of auto repair and maintenance information to consumers. From the family minivan, your daughter's first car, or a yard full of company vehicles, Advanced Automotive should be your go-to repair shop. Advanced Automotive of Reading, 5756 F Westside Road. Call 244-4423 or check the customer reviews at RepairPal.com.
If you are running your own business, you already know that if there are 1,000 items on your to-do list, you really have 3,000 things to get done. Success in business is in the details. You need help. Let the smart professionals at Five Star Bank help you take care of those financial details. Yes. Smart people doing good business. Life is 10% of what happens to us and 90% of how we react to it. Be positive. Those at the top of the mountain did not fall there. Visit us at Five Star Bank and let us show you how we specialize in emerging business and commercial real estate. Five Star Bank also specializes in hard work, working hard for those that believe that success is just on the other side of the next opportunity. Thomas Jefferson was a great believer in opportunity, for he found that the harder he worked, the more he had of it. Your time is as valuable as your success. So visit us at Five Star Bank, 358 Hartnell in Reading, or call Eric Woodstrom at 223-6652. Online at fivestarbank.com. Five Star Bank, professional, progressive, and personal. Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender.
This is Terry Oxley, pastor of True Life Church in Bella Vista. The seeds of corruption are already in full bloom in our country. We see this by the extreme violence and morally bankrupt behavior demonstrated by people from every age group and walk of life. Sadly, this behavior is not something you catch, but it is learned. It's being taught in our colleges, evangelized through TV and movies, and substantiated by the media. Your best protection from this vile corruption is having a living relationship with Jesus Christ. If you are looking for a no-nonsense church that's not afraid to talk about current issues and yet teaches the Bible, I invite you to be our guest. Our Sunday services are at 10 a.m. We are located on Deschutes Road, one block south of Highway 299 in Bella Vista. You can visit our website at truelifereading.com. We hope to see you soon, and remember, it's worth the ride.
This Hawaiian mini vacation is brought to your radio by Maui Bob's Office Cleaning. So what does professional office cleaning have to do with relaxing in a tropical paradise? Frankly, nothing. But Maui Bob and the crew want to remind you to be sure to take the time for what's important in this workaday world. Family, friends, and yes, even yourself. And if their professional office cleaning services can help you make that time, give them a call at 221-5868. This Hawaiian mini vacation was brought to your radio by Maui Bob's Office Cleaning, 221-5868.
Good, honest, reliable. More than two decades ago, an auto repair shop opened in Reading based on those simple principles. Advanced Automotive is still family-owned, continuing on with those same ideals. So simple, yet rare in today's world. Modern cars and light trucks have grown more complex in the past 20-plus years, but those founding concepts still hold just as much importance when it comes to safety, reliability, and value for your dollar. Advanced Automotive of Reading promises that your vehicle will be serviced confidently by a technician with the training and knowledge to make professional repairs. Read what your friends and neighbors have to say about Advanced Automotive by going to RepairPal.com, where you can get an instant estimate of what you can expect to pay for your service or repair. Honest work at a fair price. It's not all that complicated. Advanced Automotive of Reading, 244-4423, or stop by 5756 F West Side Road.
Welcome back. It's Boomer Tech Radio. I'm Bob Chief. Brenda, this is the tech news you can use. You want to get in touch with us. Of course, you can drop an email to boomertechradio@gmail.com give us some ideas, give us some show notes, stuff that we should look at, stuff that we obviously don't know what the hell we're talking about.
Oh, yeah,
we're open to feedback.
You guys are great. You're terrible. You know, go away. Please more. Everything
makes,
in the spectrum.
Makes our brains work. Now, one of the recurring themes on this show is not only how new and emerging technologies can improve the lives of ordinary people change the lives of ordinary people for good or for ill.
Or affect us,
yeah,
whether we seek it out or not.
Right. But I am big on the idea that technology can be used to free people who are impeded by some physical disability or other. And here is an example that is just about what I'm talking about.
Now, prior to this, the last time we went to Consumer Electronics Show, which is 2013, right, I think, we were in one booth there. It was a company that was looking for funding and such like. But you were able to control this little character on the computer screen simply by hanging on to, I forget how they put this thing on your forearm, as I recall,
a sensor
on your wrist, essentially, sort of a couple inches wide, and they wire it to your wrist and what have you. And the idea was to keep this little fish down towards the bottom of the screen, and they had this little underwater scene. And if your attention wandered, the fish would start to surface and would float up. But by concentrating on it and thinking about holding it towards the bottom of the screen, then you could do so. And their assertion was that this was a training tool for kids that had trouble paying attention. And so they made a game out of paying attention and gave them practice, such as ADD or ADHD kids, and it would teach them the skill of doing that. Well, you know, leapfrog forward years, and now let me back up. So our experience with that was that, wow, it actually did work. Quite amazingly. It's not entirely clear to you how it works. It obviously deals with electrical impulses in your body. You know, we're basically electrified bags of salt water walking around, right, when you get down to it. So we know that this concept works. So this sounds outlandish, but it's really true. There are some people who are what are called locked in. They have a physical impairment. Their body is basically, they're quadriplegics. They're pretty much can't move. But they're okay in the head in terms of they know everything that's going on around them. They have thoughts. They have, you know, they're okay, but they're stuck in their head.
Yeah.
And they can't, they can't communicate because they can't talk. So in this article posted on Facebook comes out of Popular Science. It's and this is a rare condition, complete locked-in syndrome, but it shows this device being worn. It looks like a swimming cap with a chin strap, kind of.
Yeah.
And it's got all these connections on the top of it. And basically, it can read your brain waves, and it can actually tell whether you're the person that's thinking yes or no. So if you can ask yes or no answer type questions, this person could communicate. And for these people, that would be huge, because they can hear you and they can understand you, but they can't reply via physical means,
right?
As an example.
So the most famous example of, say, ALS is, of course, Dr. Stephen Hawking.
Right.
He uses his cheek muscles, which he still has control over, to activate the voice synthesizer.
Right.
Now, imagine how long it takes to communicate
right
the kind of thoughts that Stephen Hawking has.
Which is exactly why I had the privilege in the late 90s to go to a lecture of his at Utah State University. I was third from the last person let in the door. I got in, and it was just so amazing to be in the same room with the man. I can't explain that, but he had a pre-recorded lecture because he can't, you know, take questions and reply ad hoc like you and I can, or via keyboard or whatever, because he can't type. Physically, he was limited, and that was almost 20 years ago that I saw him. Really amazing.
So there are techniques.
More than 20 years ago.
Devices that if you have eye movement, you can essentially spell out the letters and twitch or blink to lock in. That's slow, but it's better than nothing at all.
Exactly. So what this is a step forward of being able to use brain waves to do this sort of thing. And yes, no is may sound like no big deal, but that's huge. And I just from our experience at CES and that one little booth moving the little fish around on the screen, it makes sense that brain waves are our body's electrical things. There's something to this and something there. I don't think this is common knowledge for folks that we don't think about it on an everyday basis, but it really works. So the flip side of that is another story that we came across and is posted on Flipboard is that, you know, things may get to the point of where your thoughts about some things can be determined. Now, that's an interesting prospect. I mean, it's not like it can read your brain, right?
Mm-hmm.
What these people at University of Washington did was that they ran an experiment that demonstrated how a simple video game could be used to covertly harvest your neural responses to periodically displayed subliminal images. And so the idea is that, this was a relatively innocuous thing, but what about things that are much more, you have much more stronger emotional responses to, for instance, religious beliefs or more firm in your beliefs about maybe religious beliefs, political leanings or medical conditions, prejudices and all this kind of stuff. And so the electrical signals that your body produces may tip your hand as to what you're thinking about these sort of things.
Right, right.
And so this
Ask
is really interesting.
Ask any good poker player about somebody's
Yeah,
chest.
Exactly. And even though an image may be displayed only for milliseconds at a time, we're not consciously aware of that, but your brain is, apparently. Mm-hmm. So this is some really interesting stuff. So you go all the way from this technology being used for, you know, tremendous good to, well, you know, how Big Brotherism is this?
Dark,
and tell us what
there's
you
a
really
light side
and
a
dark side,
yeah.
is there always is to technology, and we talk about that all the time.
Well, of course, a simple polygraph depends on you cannot. Most of us, I would not say it is a blanket statement. Most of us are unable to suppress autonomous responses to stress.
Mm-hmm.
And that is the basis of polygraph. And a skilled polygraph tester can get their accuracy rate is in the 90s.
So this is an experiment and some theories that they're trying to run into, and it's really going to be interesting. So does this mean maybe that the lie detector test of the future is no longer the polygraph, but is something like this where they slap this thing on your head and detect brainwaves? Or what? You know, very interesting. So maybe there's no such thing in the future as private thoughts. Who knows?
Yeah, exactly. It's a Big Brother. There is a Big Brother aspect.
And I'm not being paranoid. I just think it's really interesting.
Yeah. This weekend, Super Bowl. And, of course, a lot of people watch Super Bowl just for the commercials.
I've heard somebody say, I'm not interested in the game, but I'm going to tune in during the commercials,
yeah.
which is funny because, like, in a movie, you that's when you go get more popcorn and make a restroom run and that sort of thing. You tune out the commercials.
But for millions of Americans, Super Bowl 51 will be the chance to see the most clever television, and it's become almost
yes,
an art form.
Well, it's a popular culture thing.
Yeah, it's a pop culture thing.
Yeah.
Who comes up with the goofiest or best commercials?
Yep.
Or the stupidest commercials.
I couldn't care less about the game.
How many millions of dollars per 30 seconds?
Yeah, I couldn't care less about the game itself. But people always talk about the ads after work. They don't talk about the game.
Yeah.
So this has become a common point of reference.
Oh, did you see the one with this yeah. person doing that such a thing? And then this happened and that happened. Well, what were they selling? I don't know.
That's right. I don't remember what they were selling, but it was a really cool ad.
Yeah.
Missing
the point.
Well, you can always go on, a lot of times you can go on YouTube Google the ads and you can see them afterwards. So you don't really have to watch the whole game. Yeah. Or the you know, it makes news as to what the most popular ad is or what have you. I don't know how they tell that, but you can usually do a little post-mortem on the game and find those without having to watch the game.
Now, when I lived in San Diego for a time, at one point, the San Diego Chargers actually made it to the Super Bowl. Believe it or not, there was some kind of cosmic fluke. Of course, the San Francisco 49ers cleaned their clock for them, but... to the point where by the end of the second, by halftime.
The stadium was probably two-thirds empty.
We turned the TV off and just crept away.
But it was too painful to watch.
The big commercials that year were, of course, this was the height of the dot-com bubble. And so you had pets.com. People were just discovering this thing called the Internet, and lots of people were pouring lots of money into it. And, of course, it went poof, and a lot of money went away. Flash forward to 2017. One of the products being touted on the Super Bowl ads is a product that didn't even exist 2 years ago, a connected speaker. This one from it's Google's answer to the Amazon Echo, which is a product that remember when it first came out? And we were talking about the Echo going, well, they've got this speaker that ties to the Internet, but nobody's really sure what it does. Of course, it took off like crazy and has become an indispensable tool for a lot of people. We still use ours to time a lot of stuff, but we play music on our Echo quite a bit.
Well, and we checked up on Boomer Tech Radio on TuneIn.
Yes, if you have a Amazon Echo, and I would presume if you have a Google Home, you can simply ask it without touching anything to play your favorite podcast, and it will do it.
Yeah, I know. Isn't it amazing? Think about what has to happen with that. It has to go find it, and then it has to start playing it. It just kind of blows your mind away a little bit. And this is, you know, of course, where a lot of things are going is with voice command, but Google Home reportedly is giving – the Amazon Echo a really good
starting
run.
Starting to gain market share.
Starting to gain market share.
Those who have tried it say that it actually is more responsive and can parse questions better than the artificial intelligence that runs the Echo.
Right.
We are probably, because we have a friend who would definitely have a use for one.
Right.
So we're probably going to, because they're like $150, $175, depending on if you catch them on sale or not. And we would have to try one and see how does it stack up against Miss Alexa.
Yeah, we do.
The other woman in the house.
We do these things so that we can report on them, too. By the way, 30-second Super Bowl ads this year cost $5 million apiece.
Wow. Pretty cool.
That's crazy. You know, and you go, that's ridiculous. How do they get that much money? It's because there's a lot of eyeballs on it.
Yeah.
And they know that's premium space. And if you want to pull a
marketplace
an ad,
forces.
Yep, that's just what they tell you got to pay. And if you don't, then somebody right behind you who will.
Yeah.
I don't know about that myself. But.
So some years ago, I had a video production person who I was working with on a project tell me to my face that if I didn't have an Apple computer, I was not serious.
You wouldn't be taken seriously.
I wouldn't be taken seriously.
That's what he said. I stood there and heard it myself.
Right. Yeah, if you don't have Apple, you won't be taken seriously. When I hand somebody a DVD, how
they
the
no
hell
clue.
Does the average person know? So it struck me as a little arrogant. Now, I will say I do have a MacBook Pro, which I do love because I have a MacBook Pro from the era when MacBook Pros made a lot of sense, 2012. Still a strong-running little laptop computer, does what I ask it to, edits video, boots up fast because I change it out to a solid-state drive. Apple seems to have sort of slipped off the path with the latest crop of Mac Pros, MacBook Pros. First, they brought out the Mac Pro, which they went from a traditional tower design to an oversized silo that no video cards would fit into except for the ones they made for it. And their sales have been just flat. The new Mac Pro, you hardly see them anywhere. Because they were super high priced and you couldn't really do a lot with them. Now the new MacBook Pro can't be updated. You can't change the battery. It has just USB-C slots on it.
Ooh, not popular with a
high end USB-C / Thunderbolt slots.
That you can't do that in a high end device.
But it has a touch bar, and people and professionals went. Just not happening.
Not only that, they said no.
And they want $2,000 for it.
Yeah. It's not popular with high-end users that are not folks that won't fiddle with their computer. They don't need to be told how to do a lot of these things or what have you. But, yeah, if you can't replace the battery, you've got – eventually that battery won't work. I'm looking at that in a Dell laptop that I have now. It just gets old. It doesn't hold a charge as easily.
Essentially, if you the high-end market used to be the exclusive. If you were really high-end, if you were going for the gusto, you got a Mac.
Yep.
Microsoft Surface is changing all that. And they said they were going to do this. And Microsoft has a history of stepping on their own feet. But it looks like that the Surface is really becoming a success story and starting to gain widespread adoption among people who have become frustrated with the Mac universe.
Yep.
And Windows 10, for all the missteps of Microsoft just cramming it down people's throats and causing a lot of consternation in the process, Windows 10 is actually very easy to use, pretty robust. It has proven resistant to a lot of the pitfalls. It's sort of like Star Trek movies.
every other one.
Every other one doesn't suck. I was going to say even numbered, but they jumped from 8 to 10, and everybody knows what a catastrophe Windows 8 was. Windows 7, I still know a lot of people. I was working on a friend's Windows 7 computer. And I had to scratch my head to remember how to do stuff because Windows 7 is actually a bit more clunky than 10 when it comes down to drilling down into some of the stuff. At least that is my experience. And when it comes to desktops, Microsoft is starting to take over the high-end market. Overall, desktops are down, but tablets are not going to put desktops out of business. In fact, tablet sales have tanked in the last couple of months.
Really? Is that because smartphones are becoming the new tablet, so to speak?
Yeah, things like that. Now, there's a lot of buzz about the new Samsung Galaxy S8, which is going to be far more powerful, essentially desktop-grade power crammed into a phone, and if you have a docking station for it, now you got your office in your pocket.
Oh, my goodness.
Because
that'll give you the bigger screen and all the functionality.
Correct. It'll have the bigger screen, more functionality, and then you can have the keyboard and mouse or other interface devices or slip on your headset and do the Tony Stark thing. Although, as you discover, doing the Tony Stark thing, your arms get tired pretty fast.
Yeah, gesturing in midair, it does.
But a big thing with designers and film people now is that new Surface desktop, which is a gigantic all-in-one that you can
big
tilt
screen.
Like a drafting table.
Oh, and you can actually draw on it
and things like that.
Now, great for animators.
Yeah, it is. It is very good for animators. You got a lot of horsepower under that hood. And you can still do upgrades. And this is the big thing, I think, where Apple tried to turn the Mac Pro into a big smartphone.
Oh.
Essentially, by making it a sealed unit, and when you outgrew it, you would have to go get a whole new sealed unit.
Yeah, that's not so great.
You can't sell that for $2,000 and expect to maintain that that business model for very long.
Yeah.
You know, you can't. My Mac Pro from 2012, the aluminum unibody, I can change the battery. I could upgrade the memory. I was changed out to a solid-state drive, all relatively painless. These are things you can't do with the new Mac Pros. You can't upgrade them yourself.
Yeah.
It's a black box.
That kind of limits its functionality at one level. So, you know, what market were they after? If they were after that same market, did they seriously think people would be interested in that?
Hard to say what is going on with Tim Cook and company, but I imagine that rumbling sound is Jobs rotating in his grave. You know.
Either that or it's the grumbling of consumers.
Yeah.
Or both.
Still, while they're having trouble in their professional computer category, according to the latest sales figure, Apple has once again surpassed Samsung in the fourth quarter of 2016 as far as world's top smartphone vendor. I think that has a lot to do with the disaster of the Note 7.
Yeah, that's people getting confused.
Yeah, and I am thinking that unless the next iteration of the iPhone really has a wow factor to it, they're going to lose ground again back against when the S8 comes out
for
Samsung.
That could be. Providing Samsung survives as a company, which I'm sure it will, but, you know, they're president of the company got himself in hot water with law enforcement, I think, and that sort of thing. So I don't know enough about the company to know if that leadership change is going to create problems at the consumer level or what. But, you know, all great powerhouse companies seem to have their cycle that they go through. I mean, even IBM, which seemed to be impervious to everything, is not the company that it used to be and not necessarily the number one computer thing. So these things are always changing, which is why we have endless fodder for the show to bring you up to date on how things are going and what's going on here on Boomer Tech Radio.
A couple of quick blips here. Facebook reportedly wants to get, and on top of everything else they want to do, Facebook wants to make an app for set-top TV boxes. So if you've got the Apple TV, or you've got the Amazon Fire, or one of these, or maybe a Roku, Facebook wants to invade that world as well, probably tracking your every television move, like they want to track everything else you do. I'll be honest, I'm still now I have put show notes for Boomer Tech on Facebook.
That's different.
But that's all I'm doing. I am not looking at the political roadkill, thank you very much. It disgusted me. People irritated me, and I turned my back on it for an indefinite period of time. I pulled Facebook off of my iPad and off of my smartphone because, frankly, it eats the smartphone's batteries for unknown reasons.
Yeah, well, it's because it's always probably checking
always
in with
probing.
Things. Yes, and poke, you know, poke. Someone might say, "Why is that Facebook's problem?"
It's their app. I pull Facebook off and my battery life doubles.
Exactly. So it's not – certainly Facebook isn't in control of what people post on there. But for a variety of reasons, and I've never been a fan of Facebook. I post on there rarely. I rarely post on there anyway because I'm not a fan of that.
Oversharing. I think people are starting to back away from it. Maybe. It will exist in some form, and I think what they're looking for by moving into these other areas. Facebook also wants to become a go-to place for password authentication and security for your sites. I got a problem with it. If I want password security, I'm going to get what, LastPass or Dashlane or something like that. I'm not going to hand Zuckerberg the keys to my life any more than he's already got. So I'm not sure about that. But I'm thinking that that the idea of oversharing via social media platforms, there's going to be a backlash against it. The country experienced now, and I take this from, the country experienced a backlash against the political process, and I think that's going to happen in social media. Finally, on the way to the station today, I want to make this observation. There were some government employees who were out on strike who do clerical jobs.
Right.
And I'm going to make this prediction, and it's going to make a lot of people unhappy. What is a clerical job in government except an assembly line for data? You take information from one source, from a piece of paper, put it onto a screen. You take information from a screen and put it onto a piece of paper in a folder, put it in a file cabinet.
Certainly those
folks. That's moving data.
Right. Certainly those folks, interface with the public and that sort of thing. But when you distill down the essence of the job that they have, that really is it.
Yep. Bob and Brenda here.
And they can be replaced with automation.
By automation.
Yeah.
Boomer Tech Radio, that's all the time. Wherever you go, whatever you do, be safe. Be good to each other.
It takes you to your place of work. It gets your kids to school, practice, recitals, and to visit friends and relatives. It takes you on your adventures, and it brings you home again safely. It's your car or light truck, and for most of us, it's our second biggest investment. So when your vehicle needs routine maintenance or major repairs, it just makes sense to go with the very best. Here in Shasta County, that means one thing: Advanced Automotive. Advanced Automotive is Redding's only shop that's listed on RepairPal.com, part of a nationwide network of shops that are regularly evaluated for superior training, guaranteed fair prices, and excellent customer reviews. And Advanced Automotive backs up their work with something you won't get anywhere else, a 24-month, 24,000-mile warranty. Don't just take my word for it. Log on to RepairPal.com, enter your make, model, and zip code, and read what your friends and neighbors have to say. Advanced Automotive, 5756 F West Side Road in Redding, 244-4423.
Thank you for listening to KCNR 1460 AM, community radio for the North State. This is KCNR, Shasta, Redding.
Some immigrants are now getting in without extreme vetting. President Trump vows to do all he can to protect the homeland. Connie Lawn reporting from Washington.
State.